Hello, everyone out there. This is Peter Harris from Commercial Property Advisors, author of the book, Commercial Real Estate Investing for Dummies, and coach and mentor to many commercial real estate investors all across this great nation of ours. The title and subject of today's podcast is 5 Steps to Buy Your First Commercial Property. I'm going to take you from where you are now into buying and owning your first commercial property. But my question is, where are you now? Can you relate to this? You always wanted to buy commercial property, but you're not sure where to begin, how to begin. Number 2, maybe this is you. You can see commercial as a way to build your life financially over time. Or can you relate to number 3? You see your job as not the way for or to financial independence. Or number 4, you want to leave a legacy of wealth to your family, to your loved ones. Or how about number 5? You need to make up financially because of losses or lost time, or you're just getting older and you need something to set up your retirement. Or how about number 6? You eventually see yourself as being a full-time commercial real estate investor. If you can relate to any of this, here are the 5 steps to buy your first commercial property. But before I get started, if you have any questions, go ahead and text Peter to 833-942-4516 and we'll get right back to you. Let's get started with step number 1, which is determine your property type and area. And I'll make it easy for you. I am going to choose for you, from my 20 years of experience, the property type that you should focus on initially. These are the top 3 that I would like you to consider: multifamily, self-storage, and mobile home parks. And why is that? Because there is positive demand versus supply. They're not building any more brand new mobile home parks. We can't build enough multifamily to satisfy the needs in our country. We're between 4 and 7 million housing units short in this country, and it's getting larger. And next is these 3, in my opinion, from our experiences, they have the best cash flow. So if you're looking to develop consistent cash flow, build wealth over time, these 3 are the best way to go. And let's face it, multifamily, storage, and mobile home parks are the easiest to understand. And we have plenty of training on our YouTube channel concerning these 3 asset types. So check them out. And lastly, there's lots of multifamily, self-storage, and mobile home parks to choose from, as opposed to shopping centers or office buildings, which we don't recommend at this moment. So those are the top 3. How about the area for your first property? This is the beginner. I want you to start local, within a 2-hour drive from your home. Here's the reason why. It's less risky because you can actually go there and hug the property and check it out for yourself. If the proper manager is doing something or tenants are misbehaving, you can go there that day or on the weekend and see what's happening. That is so important. You're also familiar with the demographics. If you go out of state in some unknown town, you're not sure who's there. What's the tenant type? What's the tenant profile? You don't know because you're not familiar with it. Also, you need to be able to visit regularly. You really do when you buy a commercial property. Some of you know, 9 out of 10 property managers are not any good. That's a company stat, and I'm sure many other investors will agree with that. So you need to be able to hold your property manager accountable. How do you do that? You have to visit. There is no shortcut around it. Another reason why I want you to start local, because it is not advisable for a beginner to buy their first commercial property out of state. It is not. If you're a beginner, I wouldn't do it. I would start local unless you have our help. For myself and our other coaches and a lot of our students, their first deal was bought out of state, but they had a lot of counsel from us, a lot of training from us of how to hold a property manager accountable for the money part, for the management part, for the maintenance part, and for the marketing part. Those 4 M's are so critical. The average person has no clue of how to hold a remote property manager accountable, and they end up having a disastrous deal. So there's lots of experience and things you have to do there to hold everything accountable. So that's why you can go out of state, but you need our help. But my recommendation is to start local. Step number two is to search and evaluate. You need to know how and where to search for your commercial property. And then secondly, once you find one, how to evaluate it. So when you search for your property, there are basically two ways for you as a beginner. The first way is to search for properties that are on market. You can go to websites such as LoopNet. You can go to a website called Crexie, or you can just contact brokers. Those are deals that are already on the market. They're easy to find, but guess what? These are going to be the highest priced deals. Because they're being sold by a real estate agent, and real estate agent, his job is to maximize the price, not to give you the lowest price. So when he does that, it kind of kills the cash flow and it kills the upside. But it's a good way to learn and get started in the business by going to these websites. Okay? The other key thing is when you look for properties on market is you're going to be able to establish relationships with agents, with brokers, and things like that. And you always hear me say this, that commercial real estate, okay, all different types, it is a relationship-based business. So the more relationships you nurture, the better you're going to be. It's hands down a relationship-based business. You need to honor those relationships. Now, the second way to search for a deal is to search off-market. These are deals that are not found on any of these websites. So you're going to do that by going direct to the property owner, direct to the sellers. And this is what we do at Commercial Property Advisors. I believe we are the best at it. This is what we do. That's our niche. By going direct to the property owner, and because they're off market, there's room to negotiate. And a lot of times the sellers really don't know what their property is worth or could be sold for. So you're getting the highest potential in terms of being able to raise your rents and raise the value by going direct. And lastly, you get unlimited creativity when you go direct to the seller because there's no middleman, there's no agent in the middle blocking you. So when you're talking and conversing directly with the seller, when you have a motivated seller and you have a motivated buyer, beautiful things can happen. We've done a ton of those creative deals in our company with our students. So that was search. Let's go to evaluate. A lot of you are maybe intimidated by evaluating commercial real estate. I'm going to make it really easy for you. When you evaluate, you need to learn the basics. The basics are learning how to calculate cash flow, learning how to calculate the cash on cash return or the ROI, and learning how to calculate the cap rate. Those are the three key metrics in terms of deciding if your deal is a good deal or bad deal. And I have this 5-minute video called Three Simple Steps to Evaluating Multifamily in 5 minutes. I break down the entire deal for you in 5 minutes and show you how to do the evaluation. You implement that in the video. By the deals that you're finding here, you're going to know if this deal is something you should go for or pass on. And for some of you, that you can see yourself doing this business and you want to take a deeper dive into commercial real estate evaluation, I have a book, Commercial Real Estate for Beginners. It's free. You can download it and read. Go specifically to the evaluation part where I break down deals for you. And you can see all the numbers. You can see all the calculations. Everything is there. So go for it and check it out. So that was step number two, learning how to search and evaluate. Let's go to step number three. This is when you get to make the offer. So you got over the hump. You're now brave and you're ready to jump in with an offer. When making an offer on your first commercial property, you're going to use one of two forms. You can use what we call a letter of intent. A letter of intent is just a single piece of paper where you put your name and your offer on a piece of paper. It is not a contract. It is not legally binding. You're just putting in front of the owner how you think you want to buy it. So it's just a meeting of the minds to put the basic terms on the table. And then once the seller and you go, okay, I like those terms. And then you can go into a formal contract. So a letter of intent could be the first way. But my favorite way, because I don't want to mess around once I have a good deal, is to go straight into a contract. This is legally binding. the letter of intent is, if you're not sure about the deal, if you just want to feel the seller out, use a letter of intent. But if you like the deal and you don't want it to escape out of your hands and you want to buy it, you go straight to a contract. Now, when you make the offer, you have to be very strategic. This is very important because you're about to enter into a legal agreement. And here are the five most important parts of a commercial contract when you make the offer. Now, if you are missing one of these pieces, or if you're working with an agent or using your own contract and you're missing one of these five pieces, you're potentially in trouble. Let me quickly tell you what they are and how to protect you with them. First is price, of course. You're going to have the earnest deposit. You know, when you purchase a home, there's a small deposit to get it under contract. Same thing in commercial. You have your small deposit, you have your inspection period, then you have your finance. How are you going to finance it? Is it all cash? Are you going to go to bank? And then you have the close date. So these are the five things you need to have in a contract. If you're missing any of these, you have an incomplete offer. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Now, the most important thing about this step are the four contingencies that go into your offer. Contingencies are defined as this. I will make the offer and go through it contingent upon this happening. Or I will make the offer and you let me do this first in order for me to feel satisfied so I can move forward. So this offer is contingent upon something happening or something you doing. Here are the four contingencies I want you to have in your contract. First of all, I need to have an inspection contingency. Basically, you need to give yourself 30 business days. In fact, that's what we do in our company here. 30 business days to inspect the property. Check out everything. Do your inspection, walk through every single piece of the property, to look at the financials, to do your research on the competition, all of that stuff. You get 30 days to get a roofer up there, plumber, electrician, 30 days to check out everything. And then you need to give yourself a finance contingency. Basically, giving yourself, again, 30 days to find the best loan for your property. And as you know, today the interest rates are a bit higher, so it's tougher to get a property qualified because of the high interest rates. A good loan is out there. You just need time. So if a agent or a seller says, I only give you 7 days, you're not going to be able to find a loan in 7 days. It's just not going to happen. Same thing with your inspection contingency. They want to give you 7 days. It's not going to happen. You can't inspect a commercial property in 7 days. It's impossible. Next is you need a title contingency. The title of a property has whoever the owner is, and also if there's any liens on the property. So let's say the current owner got into a fight with the plumber and the plumber sued him and there's a lawsuit on the property. You need to make sure you give yourself time to search the title and you get the title free and clear so you can purchase it. And then the fourth contingency is often missing. And our company is not missing, but in the majority of broker contracts or other contracts, the appraisal contingency is missing. You need to add an appraisal contingency. Basically, that says if you have your property under contract for $1 million, the appraisal contingency said it must appraise for $1 million or more in order for me to move forward. And if it comes in under $1 million, you have the ability to back off. Same thing with your inspection, finance, and title. It gives you the ability to say if you find something you don't like on the property, hole in the roof or some issues, you can back out and get your earnest money back. Or you can't get a loan and you get your earnest money back. Or you find a lawsuit on the title and it scares you, you can get out. Same thing with the appraisal. So make sure you add that to the contract. My last note to you, and many of you are wondering and you have so much trepidation when making offers, especially multiple offers on multiple properties, is just because you have a property under contract, it doesn't mean you're going to buy it. So basically what happens, you get a property under contract, day one, you're jumping into inspection and you're going to find some things on the property that you don't like. Let's say you say, Mr. Seller, I want you to fix the sidewalk or I want you to replace this air conditioner and it's very expensive. And the seller says, no, I'm doing nothing. That happens a lot. So that means you either have to pay it for yourself or you cancel the deal. Again, that happens a lot. Let's go to step 4, which is due diligence. Now, Here's due diligence in a nutshell. If you were to go out and buy a used car, you're going to open up the hood, you're going to check the engine out, you're going to start the engine, you're going to rev the engine, you're going to listen for any noises in the engine, then you're going to drive around the parking lot or drive on the freeway and make sure it's sturdy. You're going to check the tire, you're going to check the transmission, you're going to check all the electric components on the car, you're going to have specialists come out and just check the car, make sure there's nothing wrong with it, right? That's what you would do when you buy a used car. The same thing applies when you buy a commercial property. You have to open up the hood. You have to check everything out, okay? So due diligence is basically doing your homework on the property. And why is this so critical? It's because there's a Latin term called caveat emptor. By the way, I have a video on this on caveat emptor. It means buyer beware. Let me explain. When you purchase a home, a residential property with an agent, you're going to get a packet of papers of disclosures, what's been fixed on the property, what existing problems exist on the property, what's been done, and anything that impedes the title. So anything wrong or right about the property, any additional features that you may not be aware of, there'll be a long list of forms that you're going to get from the seller. These are called legal property disclosures, so they have to give it to you. In commercial real estate, we have no such thing. So it is buyer beware. It is caveat emptor. So basically, the seller of the commercial property could totally lie to you about what's wrong with the property, and you end up buying it and finding out later there's nothing you can do. So that's why we have the step four dedicated to that, because it is so important. And as a mentor, my responsibility is to tell you this. So this is a big boy business, and you need to have big boy knowledge on checking everything out. So it's critical, because the caveat emptor, the three parts of your due diligence, and our student base, when they get a property under contract, we have an extensive list of due diligence items for them to check out and report back to us to see if this deal is worth going after or not. So after this 30-day period of going through this long list, we know all the issues on the property. I call them elephants under the carpet. Okay, we need to know everything. So the three parts are physical, financial, and legal. So we have checklists for all three. The physical due diligence part is going on site in a property and walking through all the spaces. For example, let's say you have a 12-unit apartment building, and you're going to walk through all 12 units and look at everything in those 12 units. You're going to get a roofer out there. You're going to get an electrician out there. You're going to get a plumber out there. You may need a structural engineer out there. You may need to do additional inspections just to make sure this property is physically fine. Next, you have your financial due diligence, where you're going to look at the books and records, the income expenses, and verify. Look at bank statements. Look at utility bills. Look at the property tax bills. All of that is absolutely necessary, because, in fact, come on now, you are buying an income property. Shouldn't you verify the income, right? And then next is legal. And as I mentioned before, the legal due diligence is very particular. You may want to get legal help for this. And basically, you're checking out the title. You're making sure if the property is near a landfill and you need to do an environmental test. So this is all your legal items that you may have to check out. So we have physical, financial, and legal, the three parts. And it takes time. Remember, caveat emptor, give yourself a minimum of 30 business days. And I have a video called 6 Tips on Due Diligence for Commercial Real Estate. Go ahead and watch it. So video of me breaking everything down on due diligence on your first commercial deal. That was step number 4. Let's go to the last step, which is step number 5. Number 5 is monumental. It is to fund and close your deal. When you fund your deal, there are 3 main ways you're going to fund your deal. Number 1 is, if you have the down payment yourself, you're going to go to a bank, a local bank. You're going to put money down and get a loan from a bank. Number 2 is creative or seller financing. This is my favorite part. Let me give you a situation that when you go direct to property owners, just like we do, here's what you're going to run into. A handful of sellers that you go to direct, their property or themselves would not be bankable. Here's what I mean. They may have 0 financial documentation on their property, making it impossible for you to get a loan. Or they may have lots of vacancy on their property. Again, you can't get a loan. Or they may have a lot of repairs needed on their property and you can't get a loan. So if you're facing any one of those three, it's going to be really difficult to get a loan in your property. So what you're going to have to do is do something creative, especially if the seller's motivated, the numbers look great, you like the area, and you think it's a really, really good deal, but you have those three obstacles. You're going to have to resort to something creative or do a form of seller financing. And this is our specialty. That's my favorite way to teach students how to do deals just like that. So if you go to our YouTube channel, you start looking at the titles, you'll see seller financing, master lease agreement, no money down. You can see all the stuff that we do to help our students. And then the third way to fund your deal is through syndication. Syndication means the pooling of money together for your deal with investors. I have a great video that breaks it down very simply for you how to do it. And you can use investor money to fund your deal. We do all three in our company. Now, here's a little bit on the closing. When you get to the closing day, you won't be able to sleep the night before. Guarantee it, because you're so excited and this is your best is yet to come. Once you close your deal, and that's when the real work begins. And we meet with all of our students on a monthly basis once they close a deal. We don't let them go off into sunset. We are responsible mentors and we show them how to maximize the performance of the property. The closing day is actually the easiest part of the entire process of buying your first property. So if you get here, and when you get here, it's huge. And lastly, our company, we have a deal closing hotline for our students. So when a student has any issues sitting at the closing table, the day before they have an issue, title pops up, seller misbehaves, we are right there for them and they can speak to one of us to get your deal to closing. Okay, so there you go. Those are the five steps. Step number one is determine the property type and area. Step number two is to search and evaluate. Step three, make the offer. Step four, due diligence. And step five, funding close. If you have any questions or you need help on any of these steps, go ahead and text Peter to 833-942-4516 and we'll help you out. Send us any questions you have and we'll be right there and get back to you. If you'd like to see how our students use these five steps to buy their commercial deal, you can be mentored by us. Go ahead and apply, and it's a stress-free process, but it's a very thorough process. Check us out.